Up this morning. All the way up here.
Yes.
Father, let's thank you for Sister Betty, a woman who has given of herself to many. Her life has impacted many. And so, Lord, we give you thanks for her. And Lord, as she shares this morning, I pray for your grace and your anointing just to be with her. Lord, may she experience just the freedom that comes from your Spirit. And Father, may she share just the things that you want to have her share. Lord, may our hearts be open just to receive. Lord, may we forget about our negative experiences and just receive from you this morning. Lord, I pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you. That was wonderful. I'd like to just thank each of you and Pastor Joe, Sister Caroline, and all those that are in leadership here at this assembly to allow me the privilege to come before you. It's a great privilege and honor to me to have been asked to share with you this morning. But almost everything I've written down has been said. But we'll still go ahead with what I have and hope the Holy Spirit will do his work and bring forth what I believe he's trying to give us to think on this day. And thinking about Mother's Day, wow, such a vast topic. If you don't kind of hone it in, you know, it could go so many different ways. But I kind of settled on the thought I had been told by some, and I read an article from the internet, which caused me to think on this some, about the growing trend today of negative feelings regarding the celebration of the traditional Mother's Day observance. It's not a national holiday, but it is held in high regards throughout the U.S. and Canada and other nations. In this trend, what I picked up was some feel that maybe it shouldn't be celebrated at all because of a lot of things, mostly negative experiences they've had in life. In looking up the definitions of Mother's Day, I found this one. It said, Mother's Day is a celebration honoring the mother of the family, as well as motherhood and maternal bonds, and the influence of mothers in society. It celebrates motherhood and mother figures. And I feel like that brings in just about all women. Another definition I read included this phrase, and I like it a lot. It says, the act of mothering. As I looked into this topic and searched the scriptures, I feel that my purpose for this talk today is to look at Mother's Day in a non-traditional way. I believe the answer to a lot of the discontentment regarding this observance is your worldview. Today I'd like to look at mothers, mother figures, acts of mothering, and women, especially godly ones, and encourage each of us to reevaluate his or her worldview. I'd like to think on why there's even such a thing as mothering. What was the purpose? Where did it come from? Did it just become something people did? Something that popped out of a hat? Something that felt good for the time? Let's look at this. In my search, I discovered two women, Julia Ward Howe and Anna Jarrus, were important in establishing the tradition. Others say there was a lady named Juliet Calhoun Blakely initiated Mother's Day in Michigan in the late 1800s. But I feel like, regardless of who started the practice, it is evident that these ladies wanted to tell the world that they had the best mom in a tangible way. They set out to do just that, and they did. They made it famous. I believe their intent was to tell the world that they had wonderful moms. But what they didn't take into consideration is that there were so many that didn't have that privilege. They, I believe, were thinking of their ideal, as many of us are doing today. I believe that in most of our minds, the word mother projects certain images. Scriptures show that God instituted marriage, and marriage and motherhood, they go hand in hand. Motherhood was important to God. Scripture after scripture depicts marriage and motherhood. It was of such importance to him, God, that severe consequences were often given when the child failed to honor his parents as designed by God. And you can find that out if you just read Exodus. You'll see a lot of that. We also see how the influence of a godly mother was used to shape her child, as in Timothy. And the scripture reads, "Being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelled first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also." Children, obey your parents. Ephesians tells us that. And the Lord said, "For this is right. Honor your mother and father," which is the first commandment with promise. Right there shows you again how important this is to God. I think the promise was that your days would be long upon the earth. Women have played a vital role in society, especially the godly woman. She possesses many of the traits and skills that are essential in rearing and training human beings to become productive and godly citizens in a healthy society. Being a mother is a necessary and important role that the Lord chooses to give to many women. A Christian woman is told to love her children, as in Titus 2, 4, and 5. We're also told in Psalms 127, 3 and 5, that they are children, a gift from God. A mother has a special kind of God-given love, and we're able to observe this during pregnancy, as we see the expecting mom begin to bond with their children while it's in the womb. And we know from studies and just fact that those moms and babies that don't bond have a problem. Generally, that child grows up to have all kinds of complications, and that mother isn't able to give that mother love that was given to her by God. This bond becomes unbreakable even during adversity. And we find an example of that in scripture in 1 Kings 3:16, where these two women, they were harlots, they were living together and sharing a room. Both had babies. One dies during the night, one of the babies. And one woman discovers the dead child and takes it to the king. She says that her roommate placed this dead child in the bed with her while she slept, and she took her live child as her own. They argued back and forth before Solomon the king. After listening intently to the woman, Solomon commanded his servants to bring him a sword. And he said, "Let's cut the child in half and give each woman a portion." The true mom spoke up and said, "No, in no way slay the child." The other woman would rather the child be divided. The true mom would rather give her child up and see no harm come to it. The child was awarded to the true mom. We also see a form of this love today, that mother's love, that special love, when women choose to place a child in adoption rather than have it aborted. Same kind of love. Now, when I was looking at this topic and trying to narrow it down, I came up with three definitions for this talk. The good mother, or the super mom like we saw on the screen, and the Christian mom. I put them all in one category. And then I have the bad mother or the neglectful mom. And then I want to look at acts of mothering, substitute moms, surrogate, and mentor moms. They kind of all go hand in hand. The good mother, which is many of our ideals, this image we have in our mind. The perfect mom, always home with dinner ready. Never the latchkey kid, never. Mom is always there with a hot meal for dinner, homemade cookies and milk, waiting at the table after school. It's a beautiful picture, but is that what makes for a perfect mom? Then there's the picture of mom up at breakfast with school and work lunch bags awaiting in the kitchen and a kiss for hubby at the door on his way out. Then best friend. Mom is my best friend in the whole wide world. I can talk to her about anything, and she's always there. Most of the time, that's because I'm getting my way. That's why she's so good. But she's the best mom in the whole world. My wife is the best. She's terrific with the kids. I don't have to worry about anything because she thinks of everything. And then we have Tina's mom. Tina has the best mom. You know, my friend down the street. Because she always, then you guys fill in the blanks in your head. Most of us can. I'm sure there are many more scenarios that everyone has in mind. The ideal mom, the ideal woman. But when you think about it, how can one ideal be the one that fits everybody? That's it. Granted, there are tons of women that really do a good job at mothering, and it is a job. For Christian mothers, however, God's Word has a lot to say. Now, in searching for things to talk about and for scriptures to back me up, I ran across this article taken from Mothers of the Bible by Ann Spangler and Jean, I think it's pronounced Skywards. And I saw no reason to reinvent the wheel and start trying to find my own stuff when what they said sounded good to me and they had scriptures to back up. So I thought they were pretty good. And they were talking about the Christian mom and they made a point that she's always available to her children. They used Deuteronomy 6 through 8, 6th chapter, verses 6 through 8. I'm trying to get ahead of myself because, believe it or not, I'm very nervous. Okay, the second thing they pointed out, they should teach them scriptures and a biblical worldview. They use Psalms 78, 5 through 6, Deuteronomy 4, and Ephesians 6. A Christian mom, they should always be training their children and helping to develop skills and discover his or her strengths. And spiritual gifts. They give a lot of scriptures. Discipline. Teaching the fear of the Lord. Drawing the line consistently. Lovingly and firmly. Nurturing. Providing an environment of constant verbal support. Freedom to fail. Acceptance. Affection. Unconditional love. Again, lots of scriptures. Modeling with integrity. Very, very important for the Christian mom. Living what you say. Being a model from which a child can learn by catching the essence of godly living. Again, more scriptures. Excuse me. When we talk about the perfect mom, I think about my own mom. She's deceased now, but she was a mother of 10 children, 5 girls and 5 boys. And we were rascals, very bad. She was from Arkansas, dipped snuff and chewed tobacco. She wore women's jeans, the kind with the zipper on the side. Us older ladies know about those. with back pockets, and she kept a leather strap in it for us. Because when she caught us out on the yard, everybody knew Miss Nelson. And when we be in the stuff and we see Mama coming, boy, we jet the other way. And she would say, "That's all right. I'll get there." And she would come, and she'd catch us in the house, and we got what we needed. Okay. We would ask her, "Mama, why are you wearing pants all the time? You know, why do you have a dress on?" When she would wear one, usually on Sundays. And she said, "Because I have too much to do to walk around in dresses all day long." She had to keep up with us, and that was quite a job. Mom taught us to fear God, and we had a great need for Him. We knew this. We knew this in ourselves by what she taught us. She modeled nurturing, love for the family, respect and honor for our dad and older people. Her description doesn't sound like that ideal mother most of us have in mind, but all 10 of her children rose up and called her blessed. As I said earlier, mothering is a role that was given by God, because remember I said it went hand in hand in marriage, with marriage rather, and is necessary for a healthy society. In fact, I think I'm safe to say that there hasn't ever been a society where there wasn't mothers or the act of mothering. I can't think of any. I tried to look that up. I'm sure there are tons of information on the decline of society as women left the home for the workplace. Now, I don't bring this out to point the finger at anybody. Some one of those women, too. Rather, in the beginning, it was not so. When you think about divorce and things that have happened because of sin, we know that this was not God's intent. This was not His plan. And I think that's why when I was looking, trying to find stuff about mothers, I couldn't get around marriage, because marriage, then mothers. You know, there was an order. There was a pattern, a standard. Okay. The Bible never states that every woman should be a mother. However, it does say that those whom the Lord blesses to be mothers should take the responsibility seriously. Mothers have a unique and crucial role in the lives of their children. Again, that was from Anne and Jean. Children are left orphaned because of disasters, plagues, and misfortunes of all kinds. Institutions are erected immediately to bring structure and stability to homeless children and young people. Families and structure for children is paramount. It's very important. Why? As I thought about it, it's because from the beginning, it was part of God's plan. God set forth His order, the family, a father and a mother. We see in Genesis where God said to Noah, "Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth." The family's purpose, in short, was to teach and rear children to know, fear, and honor God. For better or worse, and I took this from an article by John MacArthur, he said, "For better or worse, mothers are makers of men. They are the architects of the next generation. That's why the goal of becoming a godly mother is the highest and most noble pursuit of womanhood. God has specifically equipped women for that purpose, and in Christ, women can experience profound satisfaction in that divinely ordained pursuit. They can be who God created them to be." The clip showed her knowing where everything was. It's over there, it's there. That takes some doing. You know, we are equipped to do that. We can multitask. You know, and that's a gift. Now let's look at the bad mom or the neglectful mom. And I'm going to start out with this. Disobedience to God's word brought forth sin. And that sin brought forth consequences of that disobedience. The category that I place these women in have a lot of stretch to it, a lot of give. Now remember, sin and its consequences have caused changes from God's original design. God created woman as a helper to man. You can find that in Genesis 2nd chapter. Let's consider this line of thinking. What kind of helper? Someone said to help go pay those bills. But is that it truly? God, knowing that as two became one flesh, they would have offspring, children. Adam would need someone to help with the children. God knew this. He made woman. He gave her a uniquely designed role, handcrafted by himself for the task. One old text says she is to guide the house. Another says she is to be a keeper of the home. Woman has a great responsibility. He took her from man and built into her nature the ability to love, to be tender, affectionate, and caring. He also gave her the ability, like I said before, to multitask and to instruct. Just think about the whole right side, left side brain thing that people talk about all the time. Because of sin, we have broken ideals. Mothers that don't live up to the images that we have. Abusive moms, alcoholic moms, and in this day, meth head moms, cocaine moms, moms that put their lovers before the needs of their children. And we can go on and on and on. Some of you know what I'm talking about. The mom that resented her child because they hindered her or slowed down her progress. Or the mother that, the woman, I should say, that had the abortion because she just didn't have time for a child. Think about those. I'd like to say that many of these ladies are hurting, and an unfortunate product of sin's consequences. As you come to understand this, pray and ask God to help you look beyond your own hurt. Okay? Let's look quickly into the acts of mothering or substitute, surrogate, and mentor moms. I really like this phrase because it encompasses so much of who women are and speaks to the original intent of God from my perspective. My mother, as I said before, had 10 children, but she also had a sister named Robbie. We called her Aunt Rob. Without my Aunt Rob, I don't think my mom could have made it as well as she did. We had a father that worked, but it was not enough. My aunt was a school teacher that later worked for the government. She was married, but never bore children. God gave her the heart to come alongside my mom as a helper. She helped us financially, put my brother through college, and aided us through school, taught us social graces, helped us with homework, took us to church on Sundays, encouraged us, told us constantly that the word ain't was not in the dictionary, and it wasn't at that time, and would not allow us to say but. She always said that was the end of a cigarette. Maude Robbie was like a second mother to us. What I'm saying is this. Just as Pastor Joe spoke earlier, could it be that women that are barren are called to be as my Aunt Rob? Look at the need in the world. There are so many ministry opportunities out there for women that do not have children of their own. For one thing, you're free. I encourage those of you that are at that season of your lives to seek God's will, to see if you're not called to be an Aunt Rob. And I made me a little note to go somewhere else. I had something else I wanted to say. Maybe it's been said already. We'll go ahead. Think about that woman, that single mom that's trying to work and go every day babysitting. Could someone maybe come alongside her and encourage her and help her to be all that she needs to be in the Lord? Many times, single women fall back into what they came out of because they don't have the help, because they have nobody to hold them, to lift them up, to prod them on, to encourage them, to lend a hand, people. Sometimes we need that physical, we need that natural. It can't just always be all up in the spirit, you know. We're natural people and we need help. Think about those moms that have challenged children. Does she need a break sometime? Can someone extend a hand to her? Can someone relieve her? I remember I used to do in-home care, and at that time I was hired out just to give this lady a couple of hours, and she would go upstairs and sleep while I watched her husband so that she could just rest and not worry in her mind that something was wrong. You know, something like that. What a help that would be. What a help that would be. And those of us that have children, we know, especially older children that are struggling themselves, we know how important it is to come alongside them. What shape would the world be in without the thousands of female teachers and mentors and substitute moms? Wow, you hate to think about it. It'd be a terrible place. All types of them, all types of women. Oftentimes, that person is the only stable female figure in a child's life. How could you be used by the Father to show forth His loving kindness, compassion, His hand in a misguided world? Adoption is another ministry opportunity. And I stated about a mother's helper. Older women reaching out to young single moms. Overwhelmed moms. Some moms have 3 and 4 children and they're not even 30. And they just almost don't know what to do. They're just frazzled, you know. What a great help you could be and are. I know there are some of you that are already doing those things. I know that. But I also know that there are some that are stagnant. For various reasons, I'm sure. But I think what the Holy Spirit was giving me as I was looking into this and thinking about what I said in the beginning, thinking about how we are self-absorbed, is that the right way? We keep our minds on our problems. And sometimes we're unable to look out and see the blessing we could be if we would look out of ourselves. The enemy is great at keeping our minds on ourselves and bringing distractions that capture our interest today. That'll tear you away from God's purposes. What we don't have, what we want, what happened to me. Poor me, poor me, poor me. That's taken from Joyce Meyer. She likes to say that when she's talking about people focusing on themselves. I didn't have a loving mom. No one was at home for me. Someone else might say, she beat me every chance she got. She allowed my father to rape me continuously. She left me alone at night, thinking I had fallen asleep. True story, I had a young lady tell me that her mother, while steeped in meth, would have sex with her in the bed on more than one occasion, and she was a little girl. None of those things should have happened to any child, not to you or anyone else, I agree. But they happened. They happened. But God has blessed you. He has caused you to be an overcomer. Don't live in that moment year after year or by the lie that the enemy presents. If you're struggling with these emotions regarding this holiday, the word that I have for you is forgive. The aforementioned abuses should never have taken place. But remember what I said in the beginning of this talk. Sin has consequences. We live in a fallen world. There are a lot of things that aren't right. Those are not God's intentions. We that have truth, that have light, and with God's compassion, we have the ability to think about our abusers and say, who taught them? How do they know any better? When you look at it, think about it. I've heard people say, hurt people hurt people. That's a true saying. Sometimes they just don't know any better. We often say children raising children. Think about a 14-year-old girl. How in the world does she know how to nurture and mother a child without somebody coming alongside her and teaching her? Is her mental capacity able to fully absorb all of that? I don't think so. Who modeled mothering to them? Or who showed them how to nurture? When we were able to focus with his eyes and think clearly about pleasing him, we are able to say, as he said on that fateful day, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. After forgiving them, then you need to tell somebody. And that I don't mean just anybody. Seek out someone that's spiritual in your midst. I found that by telling someone, you break that spirit of a secret. Satan loves to make you think you have a secret. And then he can plague your mind, get you all just closed in on you and all of your don'ts. So unload that burden. Tell someone. Then work at allowing God to heal you completely. Because when you tell it, you reveal it. And in it, in revealing that thing, that's where your freedom is. That's where your freedom is. And that's when your healing can come. Okay. Should we observe Mother's Day as a celebration for women that are mothers, mother figures, and that have shared in the act of mothering? I say yes. From this standpoint, mothering, along with marriage, was instituted by God. And because it's something that was important to God, it should be important to us. And I think in the celebration, in the setting aside one day, it makes us think about the whole thing. And how good a God we have that He set in motion this instinctive thing that's in women to ensure the next generation. Can't you see it? If women didn't have this, as you can see, those that don't have it, what happens to the child? But because He put it in us to even give our lives for that child, so that next generation could come forth. What a loving God we have. He thinks about everything. And so in celebrating Mother's Day, let's thank God, like it's been said, for His overseeing our well-being. And as we celebrate this Mother's Day holiday, let's remember all the women in the world that have made major contributions to humanity, especially those of the household of faith. Thank you.